Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
All right, welcome to a special post-game edition of the Butting Heads podcast. Our pal Derek decided he didn't want a podcast at 11:30 East Coast time. But you know what? I'm here with Johnny Gomez with the Butting Heads team. And Johnny, all I want to do right now is hop on this podcast and just say positive things about Matthew Stafford for as long as I can. Maybe it just until I just inevitably pass out and fall asleep.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a plan to me. Let's do it.
Hey, you know, it is not that long ago. I remember I think it was the first game for the Rams back in Los Angeles, not in LA, where we had a nice, cozy primetime spot week one, and we got embarrassed by the 49ers, 27-0, a team that would go on to, I believe they won three games that year. And here we are just absolutely shelling the Chicago Bears 5 years later on Sunday Night Football, 34-14. The Bears were a playoff team last year, albeit barely, but this one felt good, man. I don't think I felt as good as I did on the first touchdown of this game since Greg Zuerlein hit that field goal to go to the Super Bowl, man. And I'm not even trying to speak hyperbole. I got more enjoyment out of that play than I got out of the entire playoff win last year.
Oh, yeah. No questions asked. And I love the pun of barely, by the way. I got you, man. I got you.
Pun not even intended there, so thanks for calling that out.
But, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, you know, Steve and I were texting the, you know, for most of the game about like certain things that we noticed. And one thing that both Steve and I were commenting on was how ridiculous the change at the quarterback position is. Like, you notice right away, like, certain passes that are made, and you think back to the Jared Goff era, and there's no way in hell that Jared Goff even comes close to the amount of passes completed by Matthew Stafford. And at the same time, you know, these aren't, you know, just, you know, short passes. These aren't just slant passes. These are literally passes being thrown downfield. You know, he made it rain with footballs out there, man. Like, it was undeniably amazing to see balls being thrown down the field. You know, we haven't seen that, what, since Mark Bulger?
I mean, even, like, obviously, yeah, there was a a point in time where Jared Goff did make a lot of big plays, but how many times over the last couple of years, I mean, at least since 2018, did the broadcast team go to replays where a guy is cutting deep down the middle and is open and Goff doesn't throw it to them, let alone even attempt? I mean, we can't sit here and act like the Van Jefferson touchdown and the Cooper Kupp touchdowns were like Stafford threading the needle or anything, but he looked deep, he went deep, and he made a great throw to a receiver who made easy catches, because they're still 70-yard catches, but catches they should be making as NFL receivers, and in Van Jefferson's case, having the awareness to get up and score when he's not touched. I mean, yeah, it is just a completely different dynamic. And I mean, we lost a time of possession battle by 11 minutes in a game that we won by 30. Like, that is fucking preposterous. And it's just, man, it feels so good to watch that offense. Stafford looked great. I don't have a negative thing to say about that performance. He was dropping bombs. I don't think he really missed. I mean, not every single pass he threw was perfect, but 156.1 QB rating, that's pretty close to perfect. pretty yeah, close. I think it's a little off, right? What is it? 158 is perfect?
Something like that, but like, damn, there's no reason to complain about that whatsoever. And this is coming from a quarterback that hadn't taken a single snap in the preseason. So obviously he's still gelling with this offense. This is a completely new offensive scheme for him. So the scary thing is he's only going to get better as he, you know, goes through the season and, you know, completely dives into the playbook even more. And hopefully the offense gels even more than it was today. So that's a scary thought for the league, to see if Matthew Stafford is going to be that quarterback and potentially get better. You know, that really scary thought there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, game one. And it's funny, too, like, this game is a good example. Like, I felt like the Bears were getting everything they wanted in the short passing game. And granted, I feel like that was by design, and our secondary and our linebackers did a really good job of not letting the guys catching short passes get much past the catch. But it's like Andy Dalton doing these dink and dump plays. You know, we just watched a full season of that, of Jared Goff just looking short, throwing short passes, completing a lot of them. You know, there are some games where you look at Goff's completions, like attempts versus completions from last year, and like damn, like that's kind of a lot. But you know, when you watch the games, that it was meaningless. And like the QB comparison this game, Stafford 20-26, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked once. That monster 156 rating. Andy Dalton 27 completions, 38 attempts, 206 yards, no touchdowns, interceptions, sacked 3 times. So it's like he had more completions and he had 120 less yards. Now, obviously, those numbers by Stafford are a little inflated when you consider that he had a 56-yard completion and a 67-yard completion. But even if you, like, take away those, they would have similar yardage numbers, and Stafford did it on 9 less attempts. So it's such a way, like, we thought that Stafford would elevate this offense in a big way, and clearly that way is felt immediately. Again, I mean, this is a banged up Bears defense. Their secondary is not great. They lost a lot of pieces, but it's obviously a good defense against the run, and they've got some good pass rushers. I mean, Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn are two of the best pass rushers the league has seen in the last decade, and it was no problem for Stafford. He sacked one time, getting everything he wanted.
Not to beat a dead horse here, but did you catch the Lions game at all?
I watched the end of it. Listen, I had a lot of mixed emotions in that Lions game, because like when they were getting blown out, I was like, you know, it's nice to see that we made the right decision. Goff is out there stinking it up. this is going to be it pretty soon. But to my guy's credit, Johnny, he had a pretty good end of the game. I mean, it was absolute garbage time, but they definitely had the 49ers sweating. I mean, they had the ball with a chance to tie it.
So, okay. So here's my thing, and this is exactly you essentially described Jared Goff right there. You literally described Jared Goff, and you didn't even realize it. You said that he was thinking it up, and then he comes out of nowhere, and he magically, you know, somehow gets something going. But when it came push comes to shove, he couldn't get the job done. And the funny thing is, had he didn't even have to go to these kind of heroics to get there. Like, if you look at some of the plays early on, I know you said you only really caught the ending, but there was a couple of plays where they had to either settle for field goals or they had to do loss of downs, where he had guys that could have reached the end zone, but he overthrew them. And I'm like, that's classic Jared Goff. And since this game was so close, I can't help but think that if Matthew Stafford was still the quarterback for the Lions, he could have won that game for them.
And we've seen that plenty of times with Stafford.
Yeah, so like that's why like I'm so grateful to have this guy, and because even when even if it came down to crunch time. Let's say that the Rams versus Bear game was actually a lot closer than what it was. Who do you want in the 2-minute drill? Do you want Matthew Stafford or do you want Jared Goff? And I don't think there's a fan in the league, unless you're a huge Jared Goff fan or a diehard Lion fan, that would say that they would prefer Jared Goff over Matthew Stafford.
No. Absolutely not. And just to kind of wrap the Goff thing, here's this box score from today because it's ridiculous. 38 of 57 for 338 yards. He threw for 338 yards. He completed 38 passes. His average yards per completion was 3.9. Or 5.9, sorry. Just classic. Three touchdowns, one interception, sacked three times. Though, listen, we're shitting on him. They were down a lot, and he did bring – he had that team roaring at the end of the game. Pun definitely intended there for the Lions. But obviously, it is a – just an indescribable upgrade. I would say after 1 week, seeing what we saw from Stafford, seeing what we saw from Goff, that worth every penny. The trade is worth every penny, and I hope they extend the dude – give him some money, make him happy, make him as motivated as possible to win with this team, man, because this was awesome, and I want to watch more of it. I can't wait for next Sunday. Football is finally back, and when the Rams aren't playing or when they're playing, I'm sure we're all looking for a way to make the games more interesting, get it on the action, and give us another motivation for watching these games. If you're looking for a unique way to get it on the action during this season, it's time to come prop up with Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app specifically for player prop bets. If you're tired of doing hours of research for the best fantasy sleepers, this is probably the place for you. Thrive lets you place bets on the players that actually matter. The stars, the Aaron Donalds, the Matthew Stafford, the best of the best. You'll be able to choose prop bets for top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game, and each player's over-under will be assigned a fantasy value based on the likelihood that the prop is going to hit. Hit the most props, rack up the most wins, and win a share of Thrive's prize pool, which has over $140,000 in weekly prizes and has already awarded more than $4 million to its players. And we've got an exclusive promo offer for all our Rams Talk Radio and Butting Heads listeners. Use the promo code TALKRAMS, all caps, TALKRAMS, deposit $50 and more, and you'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. So you put in $50, you're going to get $100. You put in $100, you're going to get $200. It's a deal you're not going to want to pass up, especially with football back and coming into our lives every week. Download the Thrive Fantasy app today on the App Store or Play Store. Visit their website at thrivefantasy.com. Sign up today and prop away. All right, that's it. We talked about Matthew Stafford. I think it's the end of the show, right? I'm just kidding, guys. Let's run through the box score quick. We'll do the team stats first. Obviously, 34-14. A big blowout win. I think it was pretty close to actually what we predicted in this game, Johnny. 13-7 at halftime. So the Rams really blew this game open in the second half. The Bears had more first downs. The Bears, as we mentioned, held the ball for 35 minutes. The Rams held it for 24 minutes. Bears had 322 total yards. Rams had 386. But the Rams, 7.7 yards per play. The Bears, 4.7 yards per play. That was the big difference. This Rams offense looked explosive. They were making big plays. 312 net passing yards compared to 188 for the Bears on 14 less passing attempts. Bears outran the Rams 134-74, though obviously the Rams were very quiet in the running game until the end. We'll talk about that a little later. Bears had 3 penalties for 35 yards. Rams had 4 penalties for 36 yards. Bears had 2 turnovers. The Rams had none. How fucking good did that feel, man? Not even, like, close to a turnover, I felt like. There was, like, one pass from Stafford that got batted that had some concern. But in addition to just completely regressing as a pass thrower, Goff's inability to take care of the ball was a big point of contention the last few years. And, I mean, this felt great.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, it was so refreshing to see that. And again, you can't help but revert back and say that this offense is still new together. They haven't had a lot of time against actual competition, you know, at all, really. So with Stafford trying to develop with the team, you know, the fact that he didn't surrender the football at all, and, you know, it's not like he didn't take chances. He took plenty of chances. You know, was real smart with the football. And I think as he gets more comfortable, he'll take even more risks and hopefully not turn the ball over. But I think as time goes on, this is going to be a scary good offense. You just have to wait until, I would say, around week 4, week 5. I think that's when the team will gel together. And obviously, also face, you know, super good defenses every week. Maybe the Bears defense isn't like elite or anything like that, but they're better than decent, I'll say. So, you know, you're not going to have Akeem Hicks, you know, beating Brian Allen every play. So we'll get to that later.
And I mean, it was hilarious to see former Rams Al Ogletree and Marquis Christian starting in this game. I texted Johnny after Marquis Christian showed up. I was like, wow, he's starting. Guy was just a rotation guy for the Rams, barely a rotation guy for a long time. Looking at the individual numbers, we already mentioned the quarterbacks. Also, Justin Fields popped in this game, 2 for 2 for 10 yards. Man, I'm going to pat myself on the back. My statement last week about how this was the best possible draw for the Bears to open the season because they told Andy Dalton he was going to be the starter and he was going to come out in this game against a ridiculously good Rams defense, probably stink it up and give way to Justin Fields taking over quickly. That happened, and we'll see if they move to Justin Fields. I feel like it wasn't bad enough from Dalton for them to make that change quickly, but it was interesting to see how they use Fields in this game. Seeing him pop up in there from time to time was definitely different. Not something you see every week.
Rushing, all things considered, he had a pretty decent game.
Fields or Dalton?
Dalton.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. He wasn't asked to win the game for them. And
he couldn't.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, too, is, you know, he played the game like a game manager, and he did a fine job of it. This team is not good enough to have a game manager at quarterback. And when you have a guy on the bench with the potential to be better than that, it's just – it's a tough sell. You know, I've said – I don't think Dalton's bad. He's probably one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league. But he's certainly on the bottom side, and you don't get any upside from playing him. You need your defense to play great and your running game to be great for him to be an effective quarterback for you. And the running game was great in this game for them. Dave Montgomery ran 16 times for 108 yards. If he didn't miss a couple snaps with an injury, I would imagine it would have been higher. Damian Williams contributed six rushes for 12 yards. Johnny, this was the first 100-yard performance by an opposing rusher against the Rams since 2019. We did not give up a 100-yard game to a single rusher all of last season. Part of the reason why Brandon Staley is no longer our defense coordinator. Can you name the running back who last had a 100-yard game against us?
Oh, man. You're putting me on the spot here. Was it Chris Carson?
No. And if you guys don't want to, in the celebratory podcast, if you don't want a moment of internal dread, just skip ahead 30 seconds. It was actually two players in week 15 of 2019 when both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard ran for 100 yards, and it just the fucking throttling we got from the Cowboys in that game.
That's right. Yeah. That was bad memories, man.
Yep. Darrell Henderson, 16 carries for 70 yards. Nobody else really ran the ball. Robert Woods had one carry for 7 yards. Sonny Michel popped in for like one play. Was that the only play he was in, that carry for 2 yards? I mean, maybe he was in a victory formation.
Technically, when they threw the touchdown pass to Robert Woods, he was in there.
I didn't see him pop in there.
Yeah, he was in there. He was technically serving as a block and missed the block, by the way. But he missed it by a wide margin. We'll talk about that in a second, we'll talk about that in a second.
Bears receiving, I'm not going to go through this whole list. Most significant things, 6 receptions for 35 yards on 11 targets for Allen Robinson, obviously is their best pass catcher. Darnell Mooney had a big game against us last year. He had 5 catches for 26 yards. It's so funny. Like, this team, they have 5 players with 4 or more receptions. None of them went over 50 yards. So that tells a story for what kind of game they had passing the ball. Meanwhile, on our side, Cooper Kupp, monster game, 7 receptions, 108 yards, 1 touchdown. You absolutely love to see it. That was incredible on 10 targets. Van Jefferson, 3 targets, 2 receptions, 80 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, the big 67-yard touchdown. Tyler Higbee, 5 receptions, 68 yards. Solid game from him. Quiet game for Robert Woods until the end, but 3 receptions for 27 yards in that beautiful game-ending touchdown. Not that the game was not over before that. DeSean Jackson popping in there for 2 catches for 21 yards, and Darrell Henderson caught his lone target for 17 yards. And defensively, Jordan Fuller led the team with tackles with 11 total tackles. Taylor Rapp, Kenny Young each had 10. Jalen Ramsey, 9 tackles, 7 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss. He was fucking everywhere, man. And I know the guy can tackle, but to me, this felt like his best game as a Ram. It's probably not his best overall game, but just in terms of, like, making tackles, I feel like this was easily his best tackling performance as a Ram.
Oh, without a question. And just seeing him all over the field, even covering tight ends, yeah, that was different.
Right? Yeah, it's, as much as I love my guy Marcus Peters, I hope he gets well from the surgery. He never tackled anybody. And Jalen is getting 7 solo tackles. A lot of them were big hits. You know, some of them were not easy tackles.
RIP, Ravens.
4 Ravens, man. We'll see how they do tomorrow night. Justin Hollins, 8 tackles, 6 total tackles, 2 sacks, 1 tackle for loss, 1 QB hit. I think the biggest surprise of this game was how well this dude performed.
Yeah, without a question. Justin Hollins, who I felt like, I mean, he was kind of like the default starter in a way, because Oboe and Terrell Lewis can't stay healthy for the life of them. But, yeah, Justin Hollins has become this legitimate starter, man. And I hope he continues to keep this up, because between him and Aaron Donald out there, you know, causing havoc, Aaron Donald didn't show up in the stat sheet this week, really. He had a sack. But, you know, obviously Aaron Donald's doing work down there, creating opportunities for guys like Holland. So, yeah, let's continue to see this, although I hope to see more of Leonard Floyd.
Yeah. I'll give Leonard Floyd a pass today. We'll see how he does next week. But you know, Donald, like, just as you're ready to say he had a quiet day, he comes up at the end, makes some big plays, gets that game-ending sack. And then, yeah, man, Hollins was great. He's fine. Like, I always thought he was fine, but this game was really impressive. If he could even play at 70% of what we saw tonight, that's going to be huge. He's going to have that spot locked down. We've pointed at his spot as, you know, something that these younger guys like Terrell Lewis and Oboe have a chance to just take over, and it looks like nobody is taking that spot. He was really, really impressive in this game. I would say our best defensive player in this game besides Jalen Ramsey, honestly. Other notable player, I just mentioned the sack for Aaron Donald. He had three tackles. Nobody else had any sacks. David Long, five tackles, all solo, two passes defended, one interception on a nice tip drill from Kenny Young. You know, we probably won't bring up David Long later in the podcast, but he was one of the big question marks on this defense, and I thought he played well. You know, he got attacked a little bit. He wasn't perfect, but the interception was a nice awareness play. And, I mean, overall, I don't really have any complaints with his performance in his first, you know, his first real meaningful game of his NFL career.
Without a question. I mean, this is a defense that had a little bit of uncertainties in certain areas. And, you know, while obviously Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey are going to, you know, lock down the starting spots, we still need that third guy in there that, you know, Troy Hill obviously had locked down for a while. Now he's off to Cleveland. You know, the question was, can David Long step up? Can he be that guy that we hoped he was going to be, you know, coming out of the draft? And seems like he's doing okay, you know, maybe not, you know, elite status like Troy Hill or anything like that, but we don't necessarily need him to be Troy Hill. We just need him to be decent, and obviously we want him to get better and progress, but considering this was really his first meaningful start, I'd say he did a hell of a job. You know, maybe not perfect for sure, but I'll definitely take it. And in a way, he was kind of the hero in the first half, because things weren't going the Rams' way right away. So, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, real happy about David Long's performance, and hope that he continues to progress, because this could be the key to having, you know, a really top elite defense again.
Yeah, man. Definitely doing a good job picking up that void from Troy Hill, and it was interesting to see how they utilized the cornerbacks. They were kind of all floating around all over the field. Obviously, they made an audible with Ramsey a bunch of times, so it was nice. You know, it doesn't seem like we have a set nickel corner right now. I think when we play Tampa Bay in week three, we will get a lot more answers about what this defense looks like against good receivers and a good quarter. But not that the Bears' receivers aren't good, but like a really good receiving core in Tampa Bay. And obviously a really good quarterback in Tom Brady. So I'm curious to see how the secondary looks against them. But
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's, before we get to the box score, Matt Gay, 2 for 2 on field goals, 4 for 4 on extra points. Love the man. Keep it up, Matty. And because I'm not sure everyone listening to this is going to listen to the entire podcast, we have to get this out of the way, Johnny, now. The Rams, the Bears only punted one time in this game. Cooper Kupp is fucking returning punts again. This, if you're a longtime listener, this is all we've ever talked about for the last, like, calendar year. I don't know why they put this guy back there. He caught his one punt attempt. It was fine. But, like, you have Tutu Atwell on the roster. You have Jake Funk. They both return kicks. Why are we doing this again?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that that seeing Cooper Kupp returning punts was over. I have no words. I know that the Rams had their heart set on Raymond Calais for returning punts. But still, you know, Tutu Atwell should be the guy out there. And instead, we're risking, not only are we risking the health of one of our top receivers, but obviously he's not meant to be a punt returner. He never was meant to be a punt returner. So now that we're back in this situation again in 2021, this is not good. It's not good at all.
There, you know, there's too much to talk about on this postgame pod to spend a lot of time on this, but, like, we've seen enough. Put anyone else back there. I mean, Jesus Christ. Luckily, it was only, well, I don't say luckily, but they only punted once in this game, which is nuts. It is insane that they only punted once in this game. In a game where they scored 14 points and got blown out. Just wild. But just put fucking Tutu back there. And I think it's a good time to pivot to a topic that needs to be discussed in this game. We mentioned the receivers. 4 different Rams wide receivers caught passes in this game. As expected, it is maybe top to bottom the deepest receiving room in the league. I would say Tampa Bay clearly has a better group of receivers. I don't know if their fifth receiver is as good as Tutu Atwell. But, you know, nobody knows that because the guy didn't fucking play. And, which is fine because everyone on the depth chart is better, but he didn't return punts. And with the 57th pick, our first pick in the draft, a lot of us are pointing towards offensive line, specifically center. And we didn't go that route. They went with Brian Allen at center, who was bad in 2019 when we experimented with him as a starting center. I didn't think he looked good today. You know, it wasn't like a catastrophic performance or anything. The line overall looked fine, but when there were lapses with the offensive line, and we saw it on Stafford's lone sack, it was more often than not, it was 55 who was the lapse. Brian Allen up front. Creed Humphrey started for the Kansas City Chiefs today, a guy that was available at 57. He started at center for the arguably the best team in football. He looked good. It's just, you know, man, I don't know why they made that pick. I will never understand it. That unless the guy makes 5 Pro Bowls, 3 All-Pro teams, I will never, for the life of me, understand why they made that pick on a guy who's shorter than me, weighs less than me. I'm not very tall. I don't weigh a lot. And you already have 2 very good receivers locked into contracts. You have a guy you took in the second round last year in Van Jefferson, looked pretty damn good in this game. You signed DeSean Jackson. I know that shouldn't affect – DeSean Jackson signing shouldn't affect your decision to draft Tutu Atwell. But even if they didn't sign him, you didn't need to make this fucking pick because you have those other 3 guys as mentioned. It's just – you know, we'll see with Allen. It wasn't enough for me to sit here and say, like, it's a disaster. You know, obviously it's 1 game. There was a lot of times where I didn't notice him, and usually when you're not noticing linemen, they're probably playing well. I'm sure if I went back in the tape, and stared at every Brian Allen snap. I'm sure he did okay, but the lapses were noticeable, and it still fucking baffles me why they went this route in the draft. I'm sure this will come up plenty of times during the offseason as Tutu racks up more DNP coaching decisions because we didn't need him. It's just like, ugh, I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, the I wanted Creed Humphrey really bad, man. I did. But, yeah, I get your point about Tutu and the fact that he just wasn't really much of a factor today. It just I'm a little confused as well. But the biggest issue here is, first of all, while the Bears defense is a pretty good defense, and while we won't see Akeem Hicks every week, but even where the line didn't technically, you know, fall apart, more often than not, if you really look at the tape, you see Akeem, you see him right there next to Matthew Stafford. And it's because of Stafford's versatility, it's because of his pocket awareness that he's able to, you know, dish the ball off, and, you know, he doesn't get that close. And I guess that's from years of being on a mediocre offensive line that he's able to successfully do that. But that the point in all of this is the Rams had a legitimate shot at a really good center here and chose to go after a very luxury pick in Tutu Atwell. That's the biggest problem. And while I'm sure Atwell's going to have his moments here and there, he's going to have his moments where he shines, it still won't be that important as having a guy like Creed Humphrey there to solidify this offensive line. And yes, Creed Humphrey is a rookie, but is it really that big of a difference when Brian Allen only had 1 year of legitimate starting and it wasn't impressive at all? So that's the biggest dilemma I think Steve and I have in all of this. I still think that Tutu Atwell is going to have his moments, still think he's going to make some damn good plays for us here and there, but it's not what the Rams need in 2021.
No, it isn't. And we probably will barely see him this year, honestly, unless injuries start happening. And even if the always injured DeSean Jackson gets injured, not like he played a lot in this game. So, I mean, I don't get it. A lot of people pointing out, including you, Johnny, that it seems like they really wanted Dwayne Eskridge at that pick, and he went the pick before to Seattle. If he was Dwayne Eskridge, I would be saying all the same shit. Nothing would be changing if that was our pick. I might feel a little better about it. He was a little bit better of a prospect, but nothing really matter. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot this year. Let's go to the running game. You know, obviously until late in the game, I had on my list of things, the running game was basically non-existent, but they ran the ball besides, I guess, seven times before the last two drives. Henderson had 10 carries in the final two drives, so he had 6 carries before that, and Robert Woods had that one run. So that is, like, 6 drives where they ran the ball 7 times. Clearly, it wasn't in the game script to run the ball, and I will say when they ran the ball in those last two drives, looked fine. Henderson ran it pretty well. And the most notable thing here, I think, is how Sony Michel barely played, which is fine. I think Henderson is good. I am happy that he got basically all of the work in this game. It does feel a little weird that you traded a 4th-round pick to go out and get Sony Michel to just not play him. You know, if he really is just Henderson insurance, that's fine too. You know, like, the guy is probably going to miss a game or two here and there. But I don't even know what my big takeaway is. It's that they clearly believe in Daryl Henderson as the lead guy, but also, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to establish the run. That was definitely something that we barked about a lot. I would say 2019 probably the most when we weren't establishing the run and letting Jared Goff throw. But when you have Matthew Stafford back there instead, and I don't think you need to establish the run every game. And clearly, they did not need to establish it in this game to have a successful offense.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, well, I agree with a lot of your points there. I feel like, you know, Matthew Stafford kind of answers a lot of the points. But I still have an issue with it because there are going to be better teams out there that the Rams play against, mainly in, like, the second half of the season. And even a little bit in the first half, you mentioned about playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the third week, so... Yeah, there's going to be tougher teams out there, and settling for a field goal when you're right there is not acceptable. And like you said, the Rams went out there, they traded to get Sony Michel, who, you know, they gotta try and make an effort to have like a goal line, you know, back. Regardless of Michelle's history in the goal line, you got to make some sort of effort there because Daryl Henderson is not that back. He's not that back, and he's never gonna be. In terms of goal line situations, let me make myself clear.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, I hear the red zone carries in this game, at least when we got close to the goal line, were not great. Outside of, like, Henderson ran for a touchdown, but it was a 1 yard scamper.
Yeah. At that point, I mean, you could probably put Stafford in there and it would be okay. I would hope. But it's just mind boggling that they would go out there, make this trade, and only put him in for one rushing attempt. That's. And this was probably going to be. Always going to be a passing game, even if, you know, Cam Akers was healthy. But there needs to be better, rushing execution in this team for them to go even further than what we, you know, to get them to the promised land, in other words.
Yeah.
It's just not going to cut it against better teams, I feel.
Well, the second to last drive was certainly encouraging because the running game was working, and Henderson looked good. So it erased a lot of the concerns I had at the beginning of the game. I agree with the red zone stuff. The red zone offense in this game I wasn't particularly impressed with, although that Robert Woods play was money. That was great to see. But I think that'll take time just with the offense needing to gel a little bit more when they have a crunched field. And I, with Sony, you know, I'll give it a couple weeks before I really make a verdict on that. Obviously, this was not a running game. The Bears have a good run defense. Their secondary was beat up. I think it was, I mean, how could we argue with the game plan? It was clearly the right game plan to make this a pass-happy game. And I mean, we'll see. You know, the Colts also pretty good defense, but they also got lit up by Russell Wilson this week. So we'll see. We'll see what next week looks like there. Do you have any other thoughts on the offense in this game? I mean, limited plays, and they made the most out of almost everything. It was great. I'm really excited to continue to watch Matthew Stafford play in a Sean McVay offense.
I mean, it's not really anything significant, but I have to give props to Robert Woods on that fucking amazing catch in the end zone for that last touchdown. It was like, you wouldn't think does this man ever age? Like that's a type of catch that a young man wide receiver makes. And I'm like, how the hell did he catch it? I remember seeing this at real time, you know, before the replays and everything, and just thinking to myself, oh, well, it was a good effort. And, you know, he's probably out of bounds. And then I see the replay and I'm like, how the hell did he make this touchdown? Kudos to Robert Woods there. He deserves a shout out.
Yeah, that was bananas. That was an incredible catch. And holding on Alec Ogletree on that play, too. Didn't matter. Yeah, it was great to see as a Robert Woods fantasy owner. It was really, really great to see because he wasn't doing much for us before that catch. Listen, man, a lot to like from the receiving core in this game. Great, great game, obviously, by Cooper Kupp. Just laying it down, man. It felt like a huge game for him. Robert Woods had that great touchdown. Van Jefferson had that great touchdown. Sean Jackson was in the action a little bit. You know, not much, but he had a nice 18-yard catch. It's obviously going to be very fun to watch. A lot of good players with a good quarterback and a very good head coach. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'm already ready to watch him beat the Colts' ass. Defensively, it was a weird game, man. A weird game defensively because the Bears punted once. I don't think they had a thing. I mean, maybe the last drive was a three and out, but before that, not even. And there was no three and outs in this game. Not that that's really like a success metric. They crossed midfield on every drive up until the last drive, which is certainly not ideal. It's kind of a miracle that they only scored 14 points. Now, I would say overall this was a good defensive effort by the Rams, but like they were moving on every drive, more or less. And they just shot themselves in the foot a bunch. I mean, we got a gift on that first drive with the interception. We got a gift when that it would have really affected the game, but instead of just taking the 3 points in the fourth quarter, they went for it on fourth and 15, which is insane. And credit to Robert Rochelle, rookie, for making a good play on that pass deflection there. But there's a lot to like on the defense, clearly. And I don't know, but like I can't really make a clear judgment on this game. We got ran all over, but Montgomery was running like a monster. Maybe he was just good. But there are going to be some holes in this defense that carry over from last year. Obviously, inside linebacker is one of them, although I will say Reeder and Kenny Young, I think, played pretty well overall in this game. Kenny Young obviously had a huge tip, led to an interception. But it wasn't the best, and especially for a blowout win where they only score 14 points, it feels like they left a little on the table there, which is insane to say, given the score.
Well, the defensive success, while there was some excellent plays there, the disappointing aspect of it was I felt like a lot of the tackling, and for a lot of players, like the tackling just was not there.
I mean, even Andy Dalton broke a tackle from Aaron Donald in this game.
Yeah, and that's unacceptable. I'm sure Aaron Donald himself will say so. It's just, you know, that's not what we're used to seeing. And, you know, it's one thing for, like, David Montgomery to break a tackle from like a cornerback or something like that, say Robert Rochelle or David Long or something like that. That's one thing. You know, Montgomery's a beast. He can break tackles easily. But, you know, some of these plays got way too extended. And that, to me, was the biggest issue. You know, allowing certain things like the short passes and, you know, all that I can live with, because that was really part of a coaching strategy. Now, will I say that the defensive strategy was to allow all this to happen? Maybe not per se, but like especially in the second half, that was the plan, and it just Matt Nagy was just outcoached, and it showed, because instead of actually trying to advance the ball, you know, farther and actually score more, they dragged out the clock. And that's exactly what Raheem Morris and Sean McVay wanted. They wanted them to continuously run the ball to David Montgomery, because all it did was take time off the clock. And it got to the point where in the fourth quarter, they clearly lost. You know, it wasn't even close, because they dragged out the game by time of possession. So they were literally their worst enemy. And Raheem Morris and Sean McVay exposed that. So it wasn't so much that the defense really shined in this game. It was that they were out-coached. And that's pretty much where it's at. Don't get me wrong. There were some studs. Steve, you know, read out the big studs in the game. You know, obviously guys like Jalen Ramsey, Justin Hollins, you know, these guys really came up and stepped up. But as a whole, the defensive unit didn't do anything spectacular.
Yeah, and granted, it is week one with a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, the Bears offense is, like, I feel like better than you'd give them credit for, given who their quarterback is. Because there's a lot of talented players in this offense. So, and also, we gave up 14 points. So, like, they clearly did a lot right. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned am I about this defense? I would say 3. You know, we'll see how they look when they get really tested. You look at this. I mean, we play Indy next week. They didn't do much against Seattle, whose defense was not great last year. But after that, it's Tampa Bay, Arizona, Seattle. Well, we will have a good idea of who this defense is after those three games, because at least based on how Seattle played this week, those are three really fucking good offenses. But yeah, you know, it felt off. I would say, like, it felt off, the defensive performance in this game. And you know, like I said, there's, with everything we nitpicked in this game, there's not a ton to be concerned about. It was a 30-point blowout win. There are some minor things along the edges that we'll see. And with the defense, you know, maybe some of these things get blown up more when we see them play a better team. But for this week, we walked into SoFi in front of fans for the first time. We played a decent team, and we blew them out. I mean, there's not... I can't really sit here and nitpick the defense that much. There's not really any players that I looked at and said this player didn't play well. It's just we'll see when, like, we get Arizona. I think particularly that game in Seattle and Tampa Bay, of course. We'll see. We'll see how the defense looks in those matchups. That's really going to tell us how good this team is.
Well, to be a little fair, it was a 20-point. It was a 20-point victory.
I just have 30 point in my head because one of my friends texted me saying the Rams are going to lose today. I said Rams by 30. So it's like in my head, I feel like they won by 30, even though they didn't.
Oh, well, close enough.
Close enough, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm not that concerned yet, but I do want to see improvement on tackling, because that was very evident. Whether or not you you factor in the strategy in this game, there's no excuse for some of these missed tackles. And, you know, again, it wasn't a certain player or anything. It just happens. I think it could be just the rust because, again, not much going on except for practice. So I think that'll get better as the season goes on. But if it continues, that might be a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I after like the, what was it, the second play where David Montgomery ran for 40 yards, Kenny Young really overstretched on the wrong side of the field, and I think was a pretty big reason why that run went for 40. And I was real ready after that one play to come on the post game podcast and shit all over him, but I think he played a fine game. A lot of tackles. You know, he was all over the place. Not much to really complain about there, man. I guess, like, we don't have the snap counts, so we can't really see who didn't play, but I didn't really see a lot of Terrell Burgess out there, if at all. I didn't see any Ernest Jones. So the guys we saw in the preseason really not showing up much.
The Terrell Burgess surprises me more than anything because I did expect to see him more, and I think that's more of a testament to how well David Long played.
For sure.
Yeah, and even Robert Rochelle as well, getting in some playing time as well. So I think as long as, you know, the safeties continue to play well, particularly Taylor Rapp, we know Jordan Fuller's going to do his thing, and David Long continues to do his thing, we may not see much of Terrell Burgess, which is shocking. Ernest Jones, I'd like to see him out there, but I mean, hey, if Kenny Young and Troy Reader is doing a decent enough job out there, they probably won't. We probably won't see too much of him.
Yeah, they're fine. Out of the, I guess, like the three starters on the team that I have much maligned on this podcast in years past, I don't have much to malign in the inside linebacker state. It's only our pal snapping the football, who gives me a bit of concern. And really, really the only thing walking away from this game with that I'm concerned about. But he could play bad in this game, and we still win. We still score 34 points. You know, I think we're going to be okay, man. This is a really good football team. After this game, it felt like a statement.
Yeah, I think this truly was a message to the rest of the league. And I probably a message just saying we're only getting started, because I don't even think we've seen the best of the Rams yet, and that's kind of a scary thought from a team that just scored 34 points on the Bears.
Yep, I'm with you. And the stadium looked great. The unis looked great. The end zone looked dope. This was a fun one. And hey, good news is we are tied for first place in the NFC West with everybody else in the division.
Is that good news, though?
My God, man. It's going to be, after today, all four of these teams, I think, are going to be competing for playoff spots. You know, the San Francisco kind of choked at the end of that game, but they were up 38-10 at one point. So, I mean, I'm not out on them. Arizona manhandled the Titans, who were a very good team last year. And Seattle got a win over Indy, who was also a playoff team last year. Obviously, that, you know, we'll see with Indy, but really solid wins for Arizona and Seattle. Both of them looked really good. Kyler looked unbelievable.
How do you allow 5 sacks to Chandler Jones? I mean, don't get me wrong, Chandler Jones is a beast, but 5 sacks? Like, Jesus, poor Tannehill.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was a rough day for Tennessee. We'll see how much better they get. But hey, if they're bad, it's good for us because we play them. Kind of wild. Yeah. I think after week one, you could say there's a possibility 3 different quarterbacks in the NFC West have a real chance at winning the MVP. I mean, I think Seattle would have to be really good for Wilson to win it at this point in his career, but Stafford, I mean, if the Rams win a shitload of games and he plays well, he's going to be in the mix. Yeah, I mean, Murray looked like He's definitely going to be in the mix if he keeps playing like this. Although Tennessee's defense sucks.
All I know is I want Aaron Donald to have like 10 sacks against Tannehill. So, Jesus, man, 5 sacks.
Hey, listen, when I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago, I placed a $20 bet on Aaron Donald to win MVP. So it pays out a lot because the odds were not high. So I am hoping for that as well.
Yeah, if he ends up having 10 sacks in one game, I think you might win. I don't think that's happening, though.
I don't think so either. But I wanted to make it a bet that would make it worth it if I won to go back to Vegas. But, hey, it's late here, so, I mean, wrap it up. I mean, you got any other week one thoughts or thoughts on this game before we wrap it up?
Can it be week two already? I want to see Matthew Stafford again.
You're not excited to watch Derek Carr play?
Who? Yeah. I know I said RIP Ravens, and for a good reason. I mean, they don't have a running back to stand on anymore. I guess they have Murray now, but... and then they lost one cornerback. So I still like the Ravens a lot better here Raiders.
Yeah, I still think it's going to be a blowout. I also placed a bet in Vegas for the Raiders to win approximately one game.
Oh, wow.
Which pays 5 times as much as that Aaron Donald bet paid. So you can imagine how low the odds were on that. But I couldn't pass it up. Two good odds.
Hey, if you win, damn.
You never know. Although, I'm not banking on that one paying out. All right. Well, you guys will hear from Derek and Mike pretty soon in this week, I think. You'll probably hear from us, though I'm not going to promise that because you got us on a Sunday night and it's very late. And I'm going to be tired tomorrow. But follow us on Twitter at SuperBarrow, at Johnny596, at TalkRams. We will talk to you guys soon.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that we're gonna see him soon.